continuing on from last week, just a reminder, a little bit of what we did last week. Talk about removing pride. Don't worry what others think about you. And then be a servant like Jesus was and be blessed for it. Because Jesus was such a servant, and though he's in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon himself the form of a servant. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And God blesses those who humble themselves. And then obey, not only obey when people are watching, but obey the Lord at all times, whether people are watching or not. And that's where we were last week. And now Philippians chapter 2, and I'll start at verse 9. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things that are under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. All right, let's pray. We'll talk about Philippians chapter 2 here. Lord, it's a wonderful thing to look at the Word of God and look at these great truths. There's some great things in here, Father. And you got to be careful to not wrongly divide the Word, Father. We've got to be careful in this. There's one verse here that's misused often, Lord, and I pray we'd understand what you say. I pray I'd rightly divide it, Lord. I pray that if I'm thinking wrong on something, you'd change my thinking, you'd reveal it. And I know you can do that and have done that, Lord, and I pray you'd show it. I pray that we would have power and conviction, and anybody who doesn't know you would know you as Savior. And those of us who know you would be strengthened, comforted, convicted, and helped, and become more like our Savior. Please meet with us. Make it a powerful time right now, Lord, as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing it talks about here is living out your salvation. Now, a lot of people think it doesn't say that because the phrasing is interesting. And the way God says it, and verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, and this is the verse we did half of last week, as ye have obeyed always, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, we did that last week, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. As I go out witnessing, sometimes there'll be people who are Christians, and they want to debate over that, And I say, how do you know you're going to heaven? Oh, yeah, I know I'm going to heaven. And why do you know that? Oh, because I accepted Jesus because I'm a good person and do good things. And I say, well, you know, it's not by our works. And they say, well, no, you got to keep doing it. You got to live it or you're not going to heaven. And I'll say, well, the Bible says, for by grace you are saved through faith and not of yourselves. And I'll say, once in a while, if they know their Bibles a little bit, they'll say, yeah, but it also says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Love that verse. And you always know you're in error when the Bible has a ton to say about a subject like salvation, which is huge in the Bible, and you got two very small passages of Scripture, and you hang on those two, and they got two passages who believe in doing good deeds to get to heaven, even after you're saved, and that's going to be work out half of a verse, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. They won't quote the verse before the verse after, and two verses in James 2 that says faith without works is dead, and they won't quote the verse after that either. And so the way I just explain this verse to them, and we're going to go real thoroughly into this phrase right here, so we can just kind of settle it, so you can kind of know what it says. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. At a quick glance, it looked like it's you've got to work out your salvation. But one of the things I just say is real simply. I say if I told you to work out a math problem, what does that mean? Does that mean you earn a math problem?
No, it means you figure it out.
Yeah, it means you figure it out. It doesn't say earn your salvation with fear and trembling. It says work out. It doesn't say work your salvation with fear and trembling. It says work out your salvation with fear and trembling. In the English, it doesn't say earn your salvation. In the Greek, it doesn't either. It uses a certain word here that's a compound of two words. We'll get into that word very thoroughly. But that's just what I explained to them. I said, just because the word work is in there, it also, you know, uses the word work for going to your job. I mean, just because the word work is in there doesn't mean all of a sudden all the Bible teaching on salvation is now works. And so it doesn't mean that at all. And it does not mean earning work salvation. I'll give you a few reasons for that. First of all, why doesn't it mean you have to earn your salvation by works? First of all, the word does not even mean earn. When it says work out, the word work out in the English doesn't mean earn. But in the Greek, it certainly doesn't. The Greek word, there's one word for the word where it says here in the English, it says work out. Okay, those two words are also, it's a one word in Greek. It's a compound word of two different words in Greek. And the word is, and it's a big long word, just two words put together, katergazomii. Katergazomii. Ihi is the end. Katergazomii. The word means to work fully, to finish, or to accomplish. Okay? Now, you'll see how it's used in the Bible by how it's translated. It's used 24 times in the Bible, that set of words, including the verse we just read. And I'm going to go real through it. We're going to look at every single verse it's used as. Not one time does it have to do with earning. We'll read all 24 verses every single time. We just read one of them. We'll read the other 23 verses. And you'll understand by the time you're done reading these verses, you'll get what the word means, because in the English, it's going to come out very clear exactly what it's saying. You're supposed to be doing your own salvation with fear and trembling. You'll understand that as you read all these verses. Most of the times it's used in Romans. It's used about half the times it's used in the entire Bible. It's used in Romans. So let's go to the book of Romans. I'll start there. We'll look at every verse where this word is used, because it doesn't not mean that. And I'm just giving you a few reasons why it doesn't mean earn your salvation. Romans 1 and verse 27, and it's used in that verse. I'm sorry, verse 27. It says, and likewise also the man, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning the lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense the error that was meet. The word working right there is the same word. Okay, so it says in homosexuality, it's referring to here, burning their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly. Okay, do you see what the word means there? They are doing immoral acts. They are doing and accomplishing their sin. And so you can see what it's used there for. In chapter 2 and verse 9, and the word doeth is this word in the English that's in the Greek. So tribulation and anguish upon every man that doeth evil. That's that word, katargazomii. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul that doeth evil. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Okay? See the word doeth? That's the same Greek word. Does that mean tribulation and anguish upon every man who earns evil? No. It's not at all saying that. And again, I don't want to bore you but I want you to see so you can understand. It's not what it's saying at all. We'll just show you how it's used. So chapter 4 and verse 15. because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is transgression. The word worketh is the same word. So the law brings wrath. It works wrath, for where no law is, there is transgression. So the law brings it. And then chapter 7. And verse 8, and in this verse, it's going to be the word rot, W-R-O-G-H-T in English. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. See what the word wrought, not R-O-T, but wrought as in worked. but sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. And... and that's evil thing. So, what do you think that word rot there means? By what we're reading there. It says, sin taking occasion by the commandment, rot in me all manner of concupiscence. Anybody? Yes, Tiffany? Made? Brought forth? Something like that. Okay. What's that? Rot. Not sure about in this verse. Verse 13 now, same chapter. Now, this chapter has it more than anywhere else. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times this word is used in this chapter. Verse 13. And verse 13 is the word working. Was then that which is good made death to me? For God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Working. And so it brings it out. Verse 15, and it's going to come out in this in the word do, actually the first word do, because it's used a couple times. For that which I do, that word right there, do, is the same word in Greek. I allow not. For that I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that I do. And so it's the word do. It brings out an action. Verse 17, it's the same word, the word do. For if I do that which I would not, that I don't want to do, I consent to the law that it is good. Same meaning. Verse 18, the word perform. It comes out in English as perform, but it's the same Greek word. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will, I want to do right, is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. You see how the same kind of word, same kind of thing? The word perform here, I'm letting out an action. Verse 20. And it says, and it's that do. Now if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. It is no more I, kater gadzomi, that do this thing. That does that action. All right, chapter 15. Again, we're looking at every word, every time it's used here in the Bible. Verse 18, and it's the word rot again. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient in word and deed. All right, so we see the word is used pretty consistently. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 3, and it says, for verily as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have already judged, as though are present, concerning him that hath so done this deed. So done. Another good definition of the word. And then 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. Are you with me still? I know this is not the most exciting telling illustrations and telling stories, preaching, but it's going to help you understand a word real carefully so you know why the Bible is being clear and people are just not thinking about it. They're just jumping to unbiblical conclusions of work salvation. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. In this verse, it's worketh. It says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. What do you think that word worketh in there means? What do you think that's saying there in that verse? For a light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Produces. So if we use that word in that work at your salvation with fear and trembling, produce with fear and trembling. Bring out. Do your own salvation with fear and trembling. Perfect your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's a lot of these words. It means it brings something out. Finish what was started and make it show. And you see how it's worked so many times. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. The word worketh again. For godly sorrow worketh salvation. For godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation. So worketh. It makes you, godly sorrow makes you have repentance. It brings you to repentance. And then verse 11 uses it again. And rot. actually, worketh is twice there in chapter 10. For godly sorrow worketh salvation, and salvation not to repent it of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. There's that word worketh. That's the same word. What do you think that means when it says the sorrow of the world worketh death? It means it brings out death. The end of that sorrow of the world is death. And that's what it does. And then verse 11 is the word rot. For behold the selfsame thing, that sorrow that ye sorrowed after godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. It produced, it brought out, it produced in you. Again, that's a good word. And chapter 9, almost done. Verse 11, and in this verse is going to be causeth, which is a great word. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. See that word? Causeth? That's a good one. This produces in us the thanksgiving to God. And produce in your own life salvation. And that shows salvation. In chapter 12 and verse 12. Again, it's going to be the word wrought. But truly the signs and apostles were wrought among you in all patience and in signs and wonders and powerful deeds. And then Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 13. And this is the word having and having done. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done, finishing and dunning all you can to stand. And then three more verses. James chapter 1. And verse 3. And here it's worketh. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, it produces it. And then verse 20, it says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. It does not produce the righteousness of God. And so they see that produce is a good word there, or worketh means produce. And then 1 Peter chapter 4, and last verse, verse 3, it says, and this is the word wrought again. It says, for the time past of our life suffice to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness. So brought out something. It makes you do something. It worketh. It brings that word worketh in the King James. It means works. It produces this out. If I wear these, it would be like, if I wear these shoes, it produces the sore feet. It worketh that. It brings that out. It brings this on, it produces it. And so we see this word worketh, wrought, performed. That's what it brings out over and over. Most common is worketh. And that, the word worketh means produces. And that do. And so let's go back to our text here and let's look at this verse so we can understand that. Now look at the start of the verse. Notice when somebody quotes this for work salvation, all they say is it says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Start the verse. Get it in context. Watch this. Well, now you understand it's producing and showing and bringing out. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my absence only, comma, but now much more in my absence, comma, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Okay? Show it. Even when I'm not there. Bring out, produce, manifest your salvation. Have the works that come out and show you're saved. And be very careful to make sure you're saved. Work out. Finish it and make sure you have it and then live it out. It is work out the math problem with fear and trembling. Because if you get it wrong, you flunk the class. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Produce it. Make sure it's clear. Evidence it. Because if you don't, you better have fear and trembling because there's no going back once you die. It's heaven or hell. So produce it and work it out. Make sure you understand it. Make sure that you've done it. Don't have doubts. Make sure that you have the works and the production and the fruit of salvation that it gives you. And so, number one, the word does not even mean earn your salvation with fear and trembling. It doesn't even mean that in English or in Greek. It doesn't. You live out your salvation. Number two, if it meant work salvation, it would contradict the clear teaching of the Bible on salvation. How many times does God say you get to heaven not by being a good person, but by Jesus Christ's death and burial and resurrection? How many times does he say it so clear? Romans 4:5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, not of works, not of works, lest any man should boast. It says very clearly, it says that it's not by your works. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. The entire book of Galatians says you can't be saved by your good works. The entire book of Romans, the entire book says, therefore we conclude that as a man is justified by faith and not by the works of the law. Over and over and over, it says it. And to take one path of one verse and say, you see, work salvation, take the whole, it'd be contradicting itself with what it says all over the place. You're not saved by good works. Nobody is saved by good works. And then, but they might say, well, yeah, and I've heard this before. Well, yeah, you're saved initially by faith, but then you keep it by works. Show me that in the Bible. That's in the Bible. Matter of fact, the Bible goes opposite of that. And the Bible doesn't say that. Romans 11:6 says, and if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But just the death nail of that is Galatians. Not just the whole book, but it is the whole book. But chapter 3, watch what it says in Galatians 3. And I don't know how somebody could ever believe that and read Galatians. And especially Galatians 3, verse 1. They were going back to work salvation, and Paul rebukes him for it very strongly. O foolish, chapter 3, verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, receive you the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are now made perfect by the flesh? I mean, just saying it. You don't start with grace and end up with works. If you couldn't save yourself beforehand, you can't save yourself afterward. You're still not right, not righteous. There's none righteous, no, not one. Chapter 2, verse 21, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness is come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. It would contradict the clear Bible teaching on salvation. 3, this whole teaching in that verse, it just goes along with all the Bible teaching, is certain things go along with salvation. Salvation has evidences. Hebrews chapter 6. And in verse 9, it says it real clearly. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9. It says, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you that and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. Things that accompany salvation. It's real simple. I am not breathing to be alive. I'm breathing because I'm alive. Okay? I don't have good works to be saved. I have good works because I'm saved. When I get saved, the Holy Spirit comes inside of me. Now, somebody gets saved, never has good works, never has conviction for their sin, then they're not saved, the Bible says. If God's not working in them, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. If the Holy Spirit's not in them, then they'll have no works. The fruit of the Spirit has certain things. The fruit of the flesh has certain things. It's very simple. Your salvation is manifested. It comes out that you're saved. It comes out. It comes out of you that you've accepted Jesus. So you produce good works automatically because you're saved. But if you produce good works to be saved, you're relying on yourself for salvation, not relying on Christ, and you're not saved. But if you never have good works and nothing's ever produced from the Spirit of Christ in you, there's a problem there also. And when somebody says they got saved and all of a sudden they never, ever, ever come to a conviction, the Bible says if you be without chastisements, whereof we are all are partakers, then you're bastards, not children. The Bible says you're not saved if God is not working in you and not convicting you. Your salvation is manifested. Make sure you know you're saved. And make sure you produce the things that salvation produces. And finish up your salvation, which is being saved, and then having the good works that follow afterward. And that's what he just told him at the start of the verse. And that's the context of it. Don't neglect your salvation, it says. It is the working of God that continues our works after salvation. Let's go back. It's going to say that. You ready? It's going to say that in the next verse. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 12, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do you see what happens when you read the start of the verse and you read the next verse? Is God working in you to produce these things? And so it's manifested in you. It's read the next verse. And you'll understand it and you won't quote it out of context. One half of one verse. God works in you both to will, gives you a desire to do his pleasure, and then he gives you the strength to do his good pleasure, so you will produce good works if you're saved. Doesn't mean you can't backslide, doesn't mean you don't have the old nature, but something starts changing. Something starts changing when there's life in there. Look at Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, which he which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so it's finished. And so after salvation, it's manifested, completed. Even if I'm not there, guys, keep living it out. Live the Christian life, produce it. It works and it brings it out. And live the good life, live the godly life, whether I'm there or not. That's what it all says there. Understand? Got it? You will have good works. But if you're trying to have good works to be saved, you're trusting you. But boy, when the Spirit of God comes into you, something changes. Someone once said, if I get hit by a Mack truck, I'd know I meant it. And if I meet the God of the universe, I should know I met him. Something ought to happen. And that's very true. Good. And so we got it. Point number one, live out your salvation. Number two, all things, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Verse 14, he's just given some instructions. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Murmurings is the word complaining, basically. Oh, man, this is so ridiculous. This is so stupid. You know what I did today? Oh, it's his fault. It's Dave's fault. I have this terrible desire for those buttermilk donuts now. Oh, I love those things. You get one of those and a cup of coffee. That is manna and water from the rock. I mean, it is so good. And you know what I did today? I pulled into Dunkin' Donuts there. Not Dunkin' Donuts. Midway Donuts. And pulled into there. Pulled a drive-thru because I'm lazy. And I sat at the drive-thru, and she was making something. And I sat there. And she kept making it. And I didn't think she saw me, so I got ready to ring the bell. And she just happened to look over and just give me the old 1 second. But it wasn't 1 second. And it wasn't a minute. And it wasn't 2 minutes. I don't know if she was like killing a pig and slicing the meat up or what she was doing, but it was taking a while. And I sat there and sat there and sat there. And then, worse yet, she goes. She gets done, rings it up, and goes the next person in line in there. Gets their donut, rings him up. I'm talking, we're talking, you're not going to believe this, we're talking minutes. I was probably there 6-7 minutes, which is a long time, isn't it, drive-thru? And I sat there and I... Finally, she comes to the window, says, I'm sorry, can I help you? I said, no problem, can I get a buttermilk? You have any buttermilk? She says, sure. And she comes back. And she said, now I was nice and smiley. I didn't make a big deal out of it. And I didn't complain. You know what? She said, don't worry about it. You had to wait so long anyway. The donut's free. Woo! $1.09 free. Yes! $1.09 is a lot to me. And I got a free donut. I said, I'll take 5. And I got the free donut. You know, I didn't complain. Now there's been plenty of times. How long does it take to give me a donut, woman? I mean, you know, I don't say that, but I think that. And I don't go to the donut shop very often, but you know how we complain. It says, do all things without murmurings. This is so stupid. Why? And we do it so much, almost like we're saying, oh no, is that really a sin? That's kind of a silly thing. It's not that bad. It says don't do it. Right? You're saying, that's stupid. I can't believe it says don't do that. And then it says disputings. What are disputings? Arguments. It was so funny. When I was in Haiti last time, Haitians, they love to argue. Jewish people are the same way. You ever watch Jewish people have a conversation? It's a full-fledged debate, and they're not even, you think they hate each other and they could fight? No, it's just, they just save 10 cents in the debate over how much they're going to pay for the salami. I mean, that's just how they talk. And Haitians are the same way. And I finally had the missionary with me, with Steve Miller, and I said, and he said, are they going to fight? I said, no, this is where they talk about everything, you know. Which bus you want to take? I don't know. What bus you want to take? That one takes longer. This one, and it's fun to them, I guess. And I said, you got to just relax. They're not as angry as they seem like. You ever seen people like that? You ever seen a family like that? They talk that way. It's how they talk to each other. It's never just how you doing, good. It's like, why are you asking me how I'm doing? I'm doing fine. You doing fine? Yeah, I'm doing fine. Good. I'm great. Great to hear. Good. Last time I asked Ned, it's a dumb way to ask me. I mean, just the way they talk. I mean, and all things that murmurings and disputing. The word that got me in that whole thing is the word all. All things without murmurings and disputings. That's hard to do. But the Bible says to do it. Say, Pastor, say something and make me feel like I don't have to do that. Nope, I'm done. Point three, have a blameless testimony, verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke. How do you do that? Remember, that's a word, that ye may be. That is saying, in other words, do this that ye may be blameless and harmless. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. That ye may be blameless and harmless. Get griping out of your system. Just get rid of it. Just get griping out of your system. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, boy, we got that, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. That's what we should be doing. And that's your testimony is blameless by all things that murmurings and disputings. And so we see that. next verse, holding forth the word of life, you're carrying the word of God. You're the only Bible some people will ever read. You live it. And they see what the Bible is by your life. It says, holding forth the word of life. Now, this is interesting. I want to focus on verse 16 here. That ye may rejoice in the day of Christ. I'm sorry. That I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither have labored in vain. This is something so... Explaining this, you will either say, yeah, that's right. But most of you will say, really? It's kind of strange. Like I always thought this till I saw it. Paul said, I want you to do this so I won't have wasted my labor on you. And having grown up secular, like I did, and thinking secular, when I got to Bible college, I met, and it was mostly from the South, and people who grew up in outstanding homes and an outstanding culture. Rural Alabama, rural Mississippi, just godly town. Everybody, it's Mayberry, and going to a great church, and they just have this great thinking, and I'd be talking to them and talk about college. Say, you know what, I'm gonna finish college. My mom and dad put so much effort in me. I'd never want to disappoint them. And my thinking was, I don't want to fail and not do good. And I mean, what am I gonna do if I fail college? I was only thinking about me. And you are programmed to do that by the television and everything else all your life. And if you were brought up around very virtuous people, usually as the greatest generation, usually they're 70 or 80 right now, they were so concerned about those who had invested in them that they wouldn't do things for themselves sometimes. Hey, crazy story. My wife's great uncle Fred. He grew up. He'd be in his 80s now. Great uncle Fred came back from the war, World War II. Just the nicest guy in the world. Had a girl he wanted to marry. Was going to move back to Nebraska. He was a farmer. Loved farming. Moved to Portland with his family. And his mom and dad needed him, and they asked him not to get married and go to Nebraska because they needed him there. And he was so afraid to let down his parents. I'm not even saying this is right, but he didn't get married, and he never got married, and she never got married. So he's 75, still a single guy, still living where he didn't want to live because his parents didn't want to let his parents down. Now he said, that's crazy and fine. Don't take it that extreme. I understand. That's fine. But I want to say, people who have the right frame of mind think, you know what? My family did all this for me. Sometimes a person like that will preach to their kids, I never want to let my parents down. Why won't you do this? Because all they think about is themselves. Not about your investment, not about your love, not about your finances, not about your prayer. It's just what feels good to them right now. When you get integrity, you will say, I don't want them to have wasted all that time, prayer, love, effort on me. And Paul says, please keep living it so I will not have labored in vain. And the way he phrased it here in verse 15, holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. You say, Paul's being selfish. No, look at the next verse. Because the last point, you know, that was don't waste my effort, but Paul is willing to sacrifice all for the cause. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. Paul said, I'm willing to be sacrificed for you. And he says this, we get into 2 Corinthians 4, many other chapters. Paul said, I gave myself. He says, I wish myself accursed in Romans 9. He says, I'm willing to die for you to be saved, for you to grow. He said to the Corinthians, he says, I suffered. He says to the Thessalonians, day and night, much tears. He said to the Galatians, I travailed in birth into Christ be formed in you. He's willing to suffer for the cause. But he sure wants some return for his investment. He says, I don't want to have prayed and worked. And by the way, in this city, he was put in jail and beaten. He says, I don't want to have labored in vain with you guys. He tells the Galatians, I fear I've labored in vain because you're going back to the law. A work salvation. And understand, people invested in you. People have prayed for you. People have given you the Bible. And do not, because you're selfish, because you want your way, go back and waste their effort, let alone the Savior's blood who was shed for you. Because the Bible says when you do that, he says you're trodden underfoot the blood of the Son of God. It's that don't waste my effort. I don't want you to do that. I really love you. And he says, I'm willing to sacrifice myself for the cause, and I have. But and I love the New Testament attitude. We've preached on it so much, I won't even preach on it. But the New Testament attitude is, hey, fine, suffer, die, doesn't matter. It's the cause of Christ. I will gladly spend myself, he says. A willingness to suffer for the cause we've lost. To, I don't want that, I don't want that. And just selfishness, and it's about me. And even hindering those who want to do the work of God because we are so, it's about me. Paul says, hey, don't waste what's been given to you. Don't waste it. I don't want to have it labored in vain. All right, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you. We can teach in your scripture. Boy, there's a big batch and heavy bunch of truth in these passages, Father. It's wonderful to be saved and see the fruit of salvation. Help us to continue on. Because salvation is supposed to produce fruit until the end. Help us, Lord, to watch our tongues and our disputing and murmurings. Help us, Lord, to not go back and waste the effort that's been put into us. Help us be willing to sacrifice for the cause. Thank you for this passage. What a great passage it is. Help us to live it and love it. And we thank you for it, Lord, and all that it gives us. In Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes are closed.